for your next date night. Or client breakfast. Whether you're heading to the airport or your anniversary. No matter the event, black is always in style. The all-new Uber Black now offers premium vehicles, highly rated professional drivers, and even the ability to request a quiet ride. Uber Black. Predictably premium.
Tatooine Sons, a Star Wars podcast, is a proud member of the Making Star Wars Podcast Network, the two-time winner of the Fan Favorite Podcast Network from the Star Wars Podcast Awards. To learn more, go to makingstarwars.net. Welcome, Star Wars fans, to episode 78 of Tatooine Sons. We've been told that Snoke and Kylo Ren aren't Sith, but the Star Wars show reveals something this week that might have turned everything we expected about the rise of Skywalker on its head. We'll explain in a bit. Plus, we'll catch up on some hot takes, reviews, and strange things that happened over the 4th of July.
Sith Lords are our specialty.
It's time for Tatooine Sons.
It's true.
What is the name of the Porg on the Millennium Falcon?
The Force is strong in my family.
What do you think his name is? It's a big moment.
I am a Jedi, like my father before me.
Maybe Turbis?
Do. Or do not. There is no try.
Turbis? Pablo, if you're listening to this live stream, that Porg's name is now Turbis. It's a good Star Wars name.
We're not done yet.
These guys record an awesome podcast called Tatooine Sons. Everybody listen to it.
Welcome, Star Wars fans. This is Tatooine Sons, your weekly look at all things Star Wars from the unique perspective of a father sharing his love for the amazing space fantasy saga with his two sons. I am BB Nate, and I'm joined first by my brother, Samuel the Hutt.
A Chuja Star Wars fan, thanks for tuning in, and if you're not a Star Wars fan, then you still need to be freaking out about the Sith Troopers. It's crazy.
Why would they care if they're not a Star Wars fan?
Because it's awesome, okay. And they should still care.
So I think Sam's a little excited about the topic today.
I was excited when I first heard about it. I was like, we're doing this on the show. Your Nate was like, we're doing this on the show, right?
So, okay, cool.
You know, that's just a little bit.
And of course, you can't have Star Wars without bizarre father figures. So on that note, here's my dad, the Bowtie Jedi guy.
A happy belated Independence Day, 4th of July, that kind of thing. We didn't do a show last week.
Nope.
That was a weird week.
It was.
Holiday, time off, some craziness in the personal family life thing realm
thing.
Kind of created. It was not on the menu last week do this. But we're here. We're good. We're excited. We didn't binge it like I heard some people did.
Yeah, no.
Some people watched like they were up the moment that Stranger Things premiered in the middle of the night on Netflix, and they started binge watching it right then and there. I mean, I think I'm all about Stranger. Is it Stranger Things?
Yeah.
Why did I just call it Strange Things? I'm all about Stranger Things, but not that all about it.
No,
right? Yeah, it was fine.
Not Star Wars.
So we finished last night.
Mm-hmm.
We watched a few on 4th of July, a few over the weekend. Binged the last three episodes last night. So BB Nate, you've had about 24 hours to process. What'd you think?
It was really good. I really enjoyed it. I haven't had many gripes about the show to this moment, so it's good.
So for season 1, 2, or 3, which is the best season?
You have to go with 1 because it's kind of like the season that started it all. So, I mean, you can't say that any of the others are better.
That's fair. What about you, Sam? What did you think about the season?
No, I liked season three. It was good. It wasn't the best, in my opinion, by any means, but it wasn't bad. I'm not saying that. It was entertaining. It was interesting. It's cool to see not only the characters themselves grow up, but the kids, too. Like, all the guys are going through a voice change.
I hear that that Mike, who's, like, playing a 14-year-old, you know, 11's boyfriend, he's actually 18 years old.
Wow. Really?
That's what I heard.
No.
Yeah.
He's skinnier than I am.
Yeah, he's a little scrawny.
And I'm skinny.
So, anyway, crazy. Favorite season so far?
You know, I really don't remember much of the previous two seasons, but I just remember I really liked the end of season two.
Oh, okay. Where the upside down thing and
she's closing the portal or whatever. I think season two.
There are some real Star Wars connections in the way that they did season two with the Force and all that kind of stuff. Like that type of thing.
Yeah.
This season I would say was the most depressing out of all of them.
I don't know. I mean, maybe it was I was distracted by everything else that was going on, but I thought this was the weakest of all three seasons, and I was kind of like
I probably agree with that.
I was ready for it to be done. I mean, it wasn't bad. I enjoyed the 9 hours or so that we ended up watching it, but for me, season one was real special just because there had never been anything like Stranger Things with it. I did have fun though watching in season three the mall culture from the 80s because you know being a teenager in the mid to late 80s, that was my world. Mm-hmm. You know, so I remember going to the mall and hanging out. We lived about 30-minute walk from the mall, and my friends and I would sneak to the mall.
We weren't allowed to walk
30 minutes away from our house like that across major traffic and all that kind of stuff to go to the mall.
Not even really surprised.
Did it anyway. Yeah, like all the other things that I've told you I did when I was that age. which is why they can't get away with anything.
No, we really can't.
They can't pull anything on me. I've already pulled it on my own mom. Hi, Mom. Thanks for listening and being a supporter of our show. All right. We did have some breaking news that happened right before we started recording.
Yeah.
I'm gonna let BB Nate, since he was the one that like accosted me, I think, when I with this information when I walked in the door from work today. So tell our amazing listeners about it.
So we got the dates for the Rise of Resistance ride opening at each land, and I was a little surprised that the Disney World is opening before the Disneyland one. They're kind of switching that up.
Yeah, because Disneyland's Galaxy's Edge opened months before Disney World.
And I've been hearing that it's not getting attended as much as they thought it would.
Yeah, which is fine with me.
Yeah, I know. So let's go.
When we go, lines? It won't be as bad. So.
Yeah, no, I've been hearing that, but it's not like it's a... People are calling it like a failure.
No, because anybody that wants to try to make it out that Star Wars is dead can find anything to make up stories like that. Hold on.
Impressive. Every word in that sentence was wrong.
Yeah, so anyway, I guess it opens at Walt Disney World and Hollywood Studios.
December 5th?
December 5th, and then sometime, January, I think it was 12th. Yeah, was that it? January 12th at Disneyland. What do you think about this, Sam?
Yeah, that is strange that the Disney World is coming out before the movie. And then the second one, the other one's coming out way later. We were predicting that it would happen around August for...
August of next year.
Right.
They were taking longer to get it together, and it wouldn't open in Disneyland until around Celebration next year. They would open around that. But
that's what I thought.
Apparently, they want to get all the kinks out before we go out and visit next August.
Rolling out the red carpet for it.
Yeah, well, you know, because Turbis will be made Canada.
Oh, yeah, so, obviously. We'll have to
wait and see. New review. We had one come in yesterday, so I'll read that. It was awesome. 5-star review. Thank you so much. You are the best. This is from a gentleman. I do not believe we're connected on Twitter. I looked him up, and I couldn't find him. So, Charles Westcott, from here in the U.S., it is a great name. Charles, thank you for listening to our show. And if you're a Twitterer or a Facebooker, you know, find us on there and say hello. We'd love to connect
with
you. What
about Instagram?
Yeah, I don't remember the last time I checked the Instagram account for us, but that's okay. 5 stars. Title was Spectacular. And it says, I just discovered this show through some great recommendations. And the only thing I love more than the family approach is the content. Wow.
Thank you.
Impressive.
Sorry, press that, but it works.
Most impressive.
It does. Yeah, and the topics are varied and fantastic, and the opinions from the different generations are engrossing.
Oh, engrossing.
Well, thank you very much.
Come on.
Charles, that was...
I think we've gotten engrossing before.
Well, that's great.
Or spectacular.
All right, well, why don't we stop talking about stuff that's not, you know, on the show. And except for the amazing review that we had.
Right.
And I guess Rise of Resistance is fine. But let's move on to this week's podcast poll of the week.
Are you brainless? I never ask that question until after I've done it. What?
No! Right, so our last episode, episode 77, a couple of weeks ago, we talked about the whole Chosen One prophecy, which that was a fun discussion. Yeah, that got a lot of comments. We had lots of comments. We had 330 votes in our poll, but the comments, I think we had like 60 or 70 replies.
Wow.
On it. Lots of things. We were, of course, criticized for even questioning who the Chosen One was because George Lucas... made it clear that he believes that the Chosen One is.
And George Lucas wanted Darth Vader to not have the mask, and he was going to die in the first film.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's just, you know.
Without the mask, he looked okay.
George Lucas is amazing, and we love George Lucas.
Yeah, no, he created Star Wars.
And it is his, when he was making the prequels, it was his prerogative to make the Chosen One however he wanted the Chosen One to be. When he did the Clone Wars with Dave Filoni, he can make the Chosen One however he wants to be. But let's just remember that he sold the thing to Disney, and Disney's doing whatever they want to with it right now. And I think that that's where the premise was for us. So anyway, the Chosen One prophecy is, the choices were about Anakin only, up to interpretation, a Sith manipulation, which was what our topic was, which I thought was a very good episode, by the way. You guys did a great job. I listened to it twice because it was so good. Anyway.
It's a little weird.
It is. And then other comment below. So that we had three jobs. You know, of course, if you comment on our Twitter poll and we read your comment on the air, we're going to send you a Make Service Canon sticker. So we've got to get a couple of those out in the next few days. But we have three new people to do that. So who's got the first one there?
So first one is from Leia Solo at Leia Solo. And she says, the cosmic force created the Skywalkers for a purpose, to balance the force. Anakin sacrificing himself and destroying the Sith with the help of Luke was the first important step. Ben may now be the perfect tool that the cosmic force needs to restore balance permanently.
I liked that comment. I thought that was a well-reasoned, well-thought-out one. It allows for Disney to continue and Lucasfilm to continue. You're going to sneeze?
Nope,
all right,
good.
You're going to do that, right? Allows them to continue the idea of the Chosen One into the new sequel trilogy with Ben, which I think is a potential with it, or with Rey if they wanted to.
Maybe.
Although really the Skywalker connection is, I think, where she's going with that. But,
yeah.
But that would make sense.
And she's a little biased.
She is, with the Twitter handle is Leia Solo. So, you know, she's got a... her Twitter profile is an animated
fan
version of Han, Leia, and young
Ben.
So,
with the
good job.
Plush.
Yeah, all right, next one.
His name is Pete Fletzer.
Pete's from Around the Galaxy. That's one of the new shows on the Make the Star Wars Podcast Network, and he had me on a few weeks ago. As his guest, and that was a lot of fun. Pete's an awesome podcaster and a good friend of the show.
Pete Fletzer off...
He's an, it's an author and all this. There's more to it. It's just not showing up.
Oh, okay. Got it.
That's what that .. Okay. All right. Anyway.
Okay. His comment, let's get to it. The beauty of prophecy in stories is that it adds a dimension to the tale that allows interpretation, a depth of narrative and engagement when not reading or watching.
Yeah, I think that's what the premise, you know, the foundational element was for us with the conversation that we had about this, was that prophecy can be misinterpreted according to Yoda and according to the Master and Apprentice book, and it allows there to be multiple interpretations, which when it comes to things like religious prophecy, biblical prophecy, it's the same scenario with it. You can have, which we talked about on the last show. You should go check it out. It was really good. But have I mentioned that I really think that last episode was good? Episode 77, The Chosen One Prophecy. It was a really good one. Anyway.
But I like that where he says, you know, it adds a depth of narrative and engagement when not reading or watching. I really like movies and stories that keep you thinking after the movie. You know, like, I use this example all the time for stuff like this, but like Inception. Like, you go away from watching from that movie and we're like, is he still dreaming? Or like, what's going on with that? You know, I love movies that do that sort of thing. So, pretty much any Christopher Nolan film.
That's true. And then at WSDR Media, we met them at a celebration. They're pretty awesome. Mm-hmm. They've been a fan of us, a friend of ours, on social media for a long time now. WSDR Media, it says, it's about the overall Sith and Jedi way, not specifically towards Anakin or a chosen one. It is about the idealistic view of how we perceive the Force. What do you guys think about that idea? It's more a general Sith Jedi element.
I'm trying to remember the thing.
The
prophecy. I'm still waking up at 6:46. No, I like that. I like how it's more of just a general thought or viewpoint as opposed to like there's a chosen one and this is what it means, you know?
Yeah, I think it's an interesting idea, and we could see it play out that way in The Rise of Skywalker. What do you think about that?
I think it's true. I mean, I don't think it's specifically towards anybody. Okay. I mean, there is a chosen one, but is it talking about the chosen, like, one as a body?
Interesting.
So,
kind of like the Hebrew word echad, which means one, but it generally means like one as a group. With that,
maybe the Skywalkers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true. It's very possible. Awesome. Cool. Well, that's cool. Well, let's keep going here.
For your next date night or client breakfast, whether you're heading to the airport or your anniversary, no matter the event, black is always in style. The all-new Uber Black now offers premium vehicles, highly rated professional drivers, and even the ability to request a quiet ride. Uber Black. Predictably premium.
Well, Daisy Ridley has suggested that The Rise of Skywalker might be a completely different style movie than the other Star Wars before it. And then Chewie is teasing Star Wars fans, and we're so desperate for anything new about the movie that we're staring at a grainy concept image leak. It's time for hot takes.
That sounds like Star Wars fans.
This is where the fun begins.
Well, you want the bad news or the really bad news?
Impressive. Every word in that sentence was wrong.
So The Rise of Skywalker, according to Daisy Ridley, may feel like a completely different genre. This is from sourced from Gizmodo, with the link on our show notes on MakingStarWars.com. At the ending of the... to not just the sequel trilogy, but a trilogy as the... We'll start again. As the ending to not just the sequel trilogy, but a trilogy of trilogies, according to Kathleen Kennedy and J.J. Abrams. We all expect Star Wars The Rise of Skywalker to be unique. However, in a new interview, star Daisy Ridley went a step further to describe just how different it would be. And I'm not going to try to impersonate her. Because that would be a disaster.
So offensive.
Yeah, genre-wise, it's different from the other two. Meaning, I'm assuming, Force Awakens and The Last Jedi, right? Which will become clear when the film comes out. Ridley said in an interview with USA Today. It's quite emotional. There's a different drive than the previous two films, but there's also a lot of fun. I really missed John Boyega during the last one, but we're back together, and now Oscar Isaac is a part of it. To me, it felt like kids going on an adventure. Interesting. So what does that mean? Does it, you think it means the film is more dramatic, more carefree and adventurous? Does Ridley actually mean genre in its usual sense, or is she talking about tone? Samuel the Hutt, what do you think Daisy meant by this whole different genre thing?
It's kind of worrying at first, because The Last Jedi was very different from other Star Wars films, and we know how that turned out for most Star Wars fans. It was not well received. So I don't understand how you can get more different than the previous movies than The Last Jedi. And that's why it kind of worries me. I don't want it to feel not like Star Wars, if that makes sense. You know, maybe if it's taking... Maybe she just means like a slower pace to really focus on story. You know, I wouldn't mind that. You know, if it's a longer film just so that they can really stretch it out and focus on closing up like the series.
3 hours and 30 minutes to 4 hours would be great.
Right. Like, I mean, honestly, though, that would be fine. If they take their time and really want to close off the story in a right way, that's fine. If that's what she means by a different tone or feel, then I would...
Yeah, I just honestly don't think they're going to go with a four-hour movie.
Dang it. No.
And here's why. Because if Disney wanted to go with 4 hour movies, they could basically have done that Well, I guess Infinity War was at, our Endgame ended up being 3 hours. So that would have been like 5 hours worth of movie.
Right.
With it. I would have just thought, you know, that it makes more sense to break it up into a part one, part two, and make twice as much money off of it. Yeah. So, but anyway.
But yeah, no, I mean, the only way I can think of it working is if it's slower, so it focuses more on the story. Because otherwise, I'm worried as to where they might go with it. Now, I'm sure it's going to be great. We're going to love it. JJ knows what he's doing. But the way she phrases it and the way she says it, it kind of just... It worries me at first.
Okay. BB Nate, what do you think?
She's describing it as a more adventurous, like kids going on an adventure. And that immediately made me think of the Goonies.
Yeah, they're going to go into the old Death Star,
find some treasure and everything. But no, I mean, I would like a different... I mean, I loved the feel of The Last Jedi with it being... totally different from all the Star Wars movies, but still have most of the aspects from the other ones. It was great in that part of the movie, but I think that I can understand where she's coming from. We're introducing so many different characters in this movie that I feel like it needs to be a different story than all the others. I think it's going to be a different feel, but do you think this is going to make more money in the Endgame?
I don't know. That's going to be hard to prove. How to
That's
know.
Tough.
Because... it's the last movie in the Skywalker
saga. That's why, that's the only way I could think
of it. But when you say adventure, I don't think of Goonies. I think Stranger Things for me, though.
Okay. Well, I mean, that's because we just got done watching that. But here's what I think is going on. She starts off by saying genre-wise, it's different from the other two, which will be clear when the film comes out. It's quite emotional. There's a different drive than the previous two films.
Do you think it's going to be like a suspense thriller?
And then she says, but there's a lot of fun. And then goes on and starts talking about the adventure and John and Oscar. I think she started spilling the beans and had to backtrack and change it up a little bit, because what she's actually probably referring to is in the beginning of that statement. I think that it's a heavier film. I think we're going to see some real crazy stuff when it comes to Kylo Ren, Ben Solo, Palpatine, Luke, Anakin potentially. I would love to see that. I've made
How
that clear.
Many of the main characters are we going to see die?
And I think that we're going to see it kind of process through. They've said that it brings all nine movies together.
Right.
So
that's tough.
It's going to get interesting.
Does it include Rebels?
No, just
and
the movies.
Clone Wars? Because so, that'd be great if they could tie Rebels in.
That'd be cool. probably not going to happen. All right. Did the Chewbacca actor tease multiple twists in The Rise of Skywalker? This is from the article that I found that I liked this time was from International Business Times. So we'll go ahead and give them a shout out and link to it. All right. When IMDb asked people what their favorite I did not see that coming movie moment was on Twitter, Jonas Tsutomu also replied.
I don't think we've ever actually gotten his name right.
Yeah, that's close enough. You guys know who we're talking about. All right. The actor wrote that all of his next movie is filled with these moments, but added that he can't tell anybody about that yet. Jonas jokingly wrote, adding a laughing emoji. The actor also wrote, keep them on their toes in his hashtag. BB Nate, is Jonas talking about The Rise of Skywalker? Or, as some are suggesting or hoping, a possible Solo 2 movie?
Oh, he's talking about Rise of Skywalker.
I never thought Solo 2. When I read that,
his next film is Rise of Skywalker.
Yeah.
Well, the theory was he's already finished filming that. He's talking about the one after that. That's
a very loose theory. I mean, lots of twists. Like, how many twists? And, like, are they super heavy twists like M. Night Shyamalan movies? No. Or are they going to just be like...
It'd be cool to see that level of a twist, though. Sixth Sense, like Unbreakable, Village level twist at the end.
I feel like that'll be the fact, you know, if we're on the right track with our theory, that'll be the fact that there's this chosen one spirit, or there's this Sith spirit that's been going throughout.
The Sith chosen one element.
Yeah. It's been popping from host bodies, and then there's the Jedi. I feel like that would be the big twist.
Well, he said multiple twists.
Right.
Which that happened in the village, like, three twists in the past, in the last, like, 10 minutes of the movie.
Yeah, right. Sure.
So, is it going to be like that, or I'm wondering, is it going to just be, like, one big twist and then a couple, like, tiny twists?
We've said twists so many times in the last 30 seconds that I've really wanted to go to Disneyland and get one of those strawberry twists.
Oh. No, the chocolate ones.
The garlic, or the strawberry ones.
Anyway.
Yeah, all right. Why'd you have to do that?
Because I just thought I'd have to make you guys suffer with
me. So good.
Did you see that concept art leak from The Rise of Skywalker? Did you guys see that?
No.
It's because you guys don't go to the website that you should be going to all the time, makingstarwars.net. All right. This is from that
article about it, but I just.
This is from that article, which again we'll link to. And I'm going to do ahead and go give us a soft spoiler warning.
Do ahead.
Go ahead and do that. Give us a few minutes here. Check the timestamps to see when the next section begins. All right. A few of the images have a very Mustafar vibe to them. With a fire and a castle on there. Mm-hmm. And there are also rumors that Rey and Kylo fight there during what they're calling a flash fight sequence.
What?
All right.
What? It's flashing between.
So what the theory is, okay, let's just be really careful.
Oh, no.
Now we're going spoiler territory. Check the show notes to find the time that the next segment begins. The the flash fight sequence is basically they're having this battle, the rumor that's out there, that Jason Ward from Making Star Wars at Night has been sourcing, and he's pretty credible for the most time part, has been tracking, is that there's this big battle sequence between Rey and Kylo, and they're battling not just in the physical, but they're battling in the Force. Oh. And they're going through all of the classic, like, pivotal moments in the Skywalker saga. They're flashing back in time around them. Like, it's like they're going from, you remember The Last Jedi set up Force projection?
Yeah.
It's set up being able to see each other in different locations.
Right.
Like, the location is changing around them. They're on Tatooine. They're on Mustafar. They're on Geonosis. They're on Yavin 4. They're on all of these different places as a way to bring the entire series of movies together.
I like the
Octu, all of those.
I like the idea, but the way I see it in my head just comes across as tacky. And just pure fan service. I mean, we've said this. Endgame was pure fan service,
but did it right. Worked. I think that if they're going to do it, listen, you know, they're this is like a big friggin' deal, guys.
This
movie's a big deal.
I don't think it's hit me. It'll hit me while I'm standing.
I can't believe we're
gonna
go.
It'll hit me.
See this
when the red carpet premiere
and we go.
Happening.
Yeah.
We are speaking it into existence right now.
We are going to
And if you're listening to this podcast and you have anything to do with that, which I might as well just go ahead and send this podcast to all the Lucasfilm's publicists.
Go ahead.
We're shouting out to you right now, begging for the opportunities. All right.
Just do it.
It goes on, though. It says, we've also heard creepy... hold on. We've also heard rumors about a creepy monastery-type place that Kylo takes his helmet to, where an ape-type creature helps him forge his mask into the cracked red version that we've seen.
Which is what we saw in the trailer. Or teaser.
So you see something like that. We don't know. So while we know that these are just concept art images, what do you think? Mustafar, monastery, both, what?
I don't think it'll be Mustafar. Just because that seems... obvious.
I think they're going to Mustafar. I'm almost certain. With all the Darth Vader Lord of the Sith series, with Vader Immortal,
when's the freaking next episode coming out?
They're going to release it at San Diego Comic Con, most likely.
Oh, I hope so. Anyway, let's keep going. I mean, there's so much Mustafar going on right now that I think it's almost a certain thing we're going there.
Like, after the three episodes of Vader Immortal, are we going to get something about the Eon Star?
I hope we get it in that series. So,
what is that for?
All right, we're not talking about Vader Immortal. We're talking about these concept art leaks. Are they going to Mustafar or a monastery or both? Or what do you guys think about it?
I would hope they would go to Mustafar. I hope they go through the trilogy, the saga even, for the different locations that you could even do that battles have been on. Like... Sith and Jedi battles. That would be cool. Like,
that would be cool. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I like Mustafar, but I don't want it to seem like just a rehash of Anakin versus Obi-Wan, you know? If they can make it feel fresh and original, then yeah, I'm totally cool with them going to
Mustafar. Wouldn't it be kind of cool if they didn't just go to the different locations in the Force, but they went through time and we're actually seeing, like, they've got some new technology where you see Rey and Kylo battling, and then in the background you see Anakin and Obi-Wan, and you go to Cloud City, and they're battling in Cloud City, and you see Luke and Vader and the "I am your father" moment and all that kind of stuff. Wouldn't that be kind of a cool?
It just feels like
I want fan service. Give me fan service.
I don't care, but I like fan service. I don't want it to just be Endgame in Star Wars.
Oh, that's true.
Because that's what it sounds like with what you're talking about.
You're right. Okay. All right. That makes sense. All right. Well, I guess we'll move on to the next topic.
Of course, the Lexus Golden Opportunity sales event is about exceptional offers, but it's also about the luxury of versatility and the freedom of a summer day coming together for you at the perfect moment.
Lease the 2019 NX300 all-wheel drive for $369 a month for 36 months with $29.99 to its signing. Experience amazing at your New York, New Jersey, Connecticut Lexus dealer. Call 1-800-USA-LEXUS for important lease offer and pricing details. Not all customers will qualify. Offer valid in the Lexus Eastern area only and ends July 31st, 2019.
All right, so do you remember that fake, wink, wink, poster for The Rise of Skywalker that came out in early spring? You remember that, guys?
Yeah, the one that's the fake one, accurate right now.
the one in which just about everything in it has been confirmed by now,
right? Except for 3PO carrying around the spear and stuff.
I think it's going to happen. Yeah,
oh, it's going to happen.
I'm not sure if any of us though were really prepared for that juicy little nugget that was revealed this week on the Star Wars show about those red stormtroopers that were lined up along the bottom of it. I guess we'll talk about that next.
Rebellions are built on hope.
If you live long enough, you see the same eyes in different people.
I find your lack of faith disturbing.
All right, we're going to go straight to the source. StarWars.com. This is not rumor. This is facto mundo.
And it's just like they released it because it's like, oh no, we got merch that we're needing to sell at San Diego Comic-Con.
No, people are going to ask questions. They've been planning this for a while. So here's ours from StarWars.com. At San Diego Comic-Con 2019, Lucasfilm will celebrate the history of Stormtrooper design and the future. Fans attending the Mega Pop Culture event in July will be treated to a new exhibit of trooper armor from across the Star Wars saga, including a first look at the next evolution in Imperial First Order soldiers, the, quote, Sith Trooper. From the upcoming Star Wars The Rise of Skywalker. It's a modern and more menacing looking, a look befitting its namesake. And according to Madeline Burkert, Lucasfilm archivist, that's archivist? A job. Can you imagine being the person responsible for the Lucasfilm archives?
Like I've said multiple times, I'd love to work at Lucasfilm. Yeah. I don't care what I'm doing.
Well, here's what she says. She says it has some really unique aesthetics to it. It has more subtle ties to previous Stormtrooper designs. Which I think fans will enjoy discovering. And there will be a selection of new early release edition Sith Trooper products debuting at San Diego Comic-Con. So let's just get your initial reaction right now. Sith Troopers, you were like salivating just a minute ago about this. Go, Sam.
I'm still salivating.
Okay. Why?
Not only do they look awesome, and I can't wait to see cosplay of them at the next celebration, but just the name. That's got huge repercussions for this, because I don't want to keep talking. We'll talk about it in a minute.
So the Sith part is what's making it like. I mean, not only do they look cool, but they're called Sith Troopers.
Right.
Okay. What do you think, BB Nate?
It's funny how it was announced. Like, and then I was looking at the pictures, and it was all just action figure pictures, and then they were selling hats and shirts.
Yeah, yeah, it's just merch, right, for San Diego Comic-Con. But then they throw out that Sith thing.
Yeah, and then they name it a Sith Trooper, and it has, like, a huge arsenal of weapons that we haven't seen in before in the Star Wars universe. Yes. And they're all themed to the Sith Trooper. Now, I'm wondering, are this to keep going with the theory that we've been going on for the last podcast, do you think that the Sith Troopers are basically, like, troopers that the Force of Palpatine would transfer into?
No, I don't think so.
I thought, like, I literally just thought of this, and it's a weird, wild, far-fetched thing, but maybe they're clones who have been cloned off of a Force-sensitive, and they're all not, like Jedi or like Sith Force-sensitive, but somewhat Force-sensitive, sort of like the Sith army in Old Republic. I mean, they weren't all the greatest Force.
They weren't all Darth Bane, Revan.
No, but they had Force abilities, you know? They knew what they were doing. Maybe that's where they're going with it.
You know, it's interesting because when we first saw that poster, and if you can go back to that episode where we're talking about the poster leak, mm-hmm. And we're breaking down those red stormtroopers, I put forth the idea that I fully expect to see a stormtrooper rebellion led by Finn.
Yeah.
In this movie. Which, speaking of Finn, you guys do remember what J.J. Abrams gave to John Boyega for Christmas that he put out on Twitter?
It was a blaster, right?
No, it was a red Stormtrooper, First Order helmet. Oh. It was the helmet from this.
Huh. And Kathleen gave, like, his blaster from the movies.
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm most focusing on the red Stormtrooper or the red Trooper thing. But anyway, when we had that episode about the poster, I suggested that the reason that they're doing the red Troopers at the time was so that when you see the Stormtrooper rebellion against a sort of a Knights of Ren led army of extreme troopers, mm-hmm. that you can tell the difference.
Right.
Between the two. I said that all the way back, you know, back before Celebration when that first, I think it was in March, when that poster came out. But the element of Sith is where things get really interesting. And again, makingstarwars.com, if you want like rumors and spoilers that are actually friggin' legitimate, and not Mike Zero, where, you know, a blind pig can find a nut once in a while, rooting around.
Is that same?
I don't know. I think I just mixed like four metaphors, but anyway.
I like it. You need to get a t-shirt.
You should go to makingstarwars.com for this stuff because they know what they're talking. You know, Jason knows what he's talking about. And he's really careful on his site to A, indicate whether or not something is a spoiler and don't share it like in pub, like openly on social media if you don't, because he just doesn't want you to be a jerk. But at the same time, he also makes it very clear whether or not it's been sourced from multiple sources, just one source. If it's a single source, whether or not that source has proven credible before, he gives some meat to what his rumors are. And, so we're going to get into a little bit of spoiler here territory, but I'm not sure. It's really not spoiler territory because it's all been confirmed now. But that shows you what you're about to see, or hear, on this is how he presents these rumors and then what happens when they get confirmed, which is exactly what happened. So, MakingStarWars.com has been reporting on these red troopers and the potential Sith troopers for almost a year.
Wow.
Now, one of the more concrete elements that this is a quote by Jason. One of the more concrete elements I had heard about the troopers is that they only answer to Kylo Ren and the Knights of Ren in the film, and that this has some plot significance. That's the first thing from one of the articles that I pulled with it. Guys, that plays directly into that theory I was just talking about the two. I have the opinion that you've got Kylo Ren, the Knights of Ren, and the Red Troopers, and then you've got this. Even Hux and the First Order is like, oh my gosh, Kylo Ren has he's even more evil than we could even imagine.
I thought
he's
going Vendemption.
Hold on. All that kind of stuff. And that's where the Finn thing comes in. And they're brought to basically, and again, this is not based on any rumor that I've heard or any thing like that. This isn't like I've got no sources for this. This is my imagination here. Hux and the First Order basically go to the Resistance and we're like, you've got to help us take out this dude with it. And so that's where they partner up to go off against the Knights of Ren. Mm-hmm. Somewhere along that process, that's when Kylo Ren ends up getting redeemed because of the Rey thing,
right,
the Leia thing, and he ends up switching sides with it. But this plays into that. What do you guys think about that as being sort of what's going on with
you
that?
You know, I've just got this image in my head of like a Lord of the Rings style army.
Oh,
you know,
man.
They're just running across
chills
these planes.
Right,
you see Rey and Kylo running alongside. I mean, see Resistance and Stormtroopers running alongside. You see a TIE fighter and an X-Wing flying next to
each other. That would blow my mind to see them
partnering.
That would
be amazing because it'd be like...
And then even the night, even like the Knights of Ren side with their crafts, their spacecrafts,
yeah,
have the red in it because of what we see at the opening of The Rise of Skywalker. Kylo Ren's silencer or whatever that is,
yeah,
coming at Rey. It's got Rey, red elements,
yeah,
in it. I think that's what's going on.
That would be cool. It's like hodgepodge army versus this pure evil. Anyway,
they could have another aspect from Lord of the Rings as the runtime. I would not know. Extended edition.
You're really pushing for a 4.5 hour,
yes,
movie here. Okay.
Maybe we see the ace pilots flying around too.
That'd be cool. Anyway, what do you think about this whole idea of the red Sith troopers versus the First Order troopers? And that's what part of this is all about.
I'm kind of surprised that you're for this, Sam. Because you were like, I don't want it to get too endgamey. It's literally the final scene.
That would be like if Thanos or part of Thanos' army went to join the Avengers.
Yeah, nothing I think could prepare fandom for the First Order and the Resistance partnering together.
Right. What would be more similar to Endgame is if, I know this is really far-fetched, but, you know, like, young Obi-Wan and some clones travel through time to join, you know, and then you've got like people from every era joining in.
Or you've got,
then they're
like
all good guys, you know.
A massive Sith army from the Old Republic era,
right,
that comes through time to battle or something.
Not
like that.
The bad guys turning good. That's nuts.
Another point on this was Jason wrote that it looks like their accessories are very much in the line of the Praetorian Guards from The Last Jedi as well. There's like lots of different versions of their weapons.
Yeah.
They had 8 weapons in that packaging.
Mm-hmm. Now, I don't think every trooper is going to use all 8 weapons, but there will be different troopers who use each weapon.
Yeah. Now, this the next series of quotes, these actually go back. The first quotes that I just mentioned were from the recent article that Making Star Wars did about the Sith troopers. Okay. But now we're going to go back. I think it's all the way into February. So we're looking at 5 or 6 months ago, where he said these things. Very recently, another source with a great track record said that it's really important that the Knights of Ren have returned from the beyond. Okay. Now I don't know what that means. I'm just thinking it has to do with, you know, it's interesting because we don't see the Knights of Ren at all. I mean, we barely see them in The Force Awakens. They're in a flashback, force back. We don't see them at all in The Last Jedi.
Yeah, I don't think they're.
And we've been asking where they're at. Maybe they've been in like the unknown regions, what he's calling the beyond, with, you know, putting together this Sith army, these Sith troopers,
some like cloning facility.
Yeah. So anyway, this source basically says maybe they, I want to help you understand sort of the flow of this statement here. It says this source with a great track record said it's really important that the Knights of Ren have returned from the beyond. And then he goes, Jason immediately says the pregnant pause after that bit of information, when he was getting that from, the source, there was this like pause that spoke volumes.
You can like cut the tension.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So the pregnant pause after that bit of information has led me to believe that there's a lot to that. The fact that there is some plot significance to the Knights of Ren in the film is something else most sources have also echoed, which we know that they're in their Vanity Fair article.
Yeah, that's the most we've seen of them.
Exactly.
Are those pictures.
Then he goes on in another section. He says, now they are called behind that. Okay, so he's talking about them being called Sith troopers.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And there was this like situation where he had sources tell him that they were called Sith stormtroopers is what he was told they were called. Sith stormtroopers is the way it was worded. And then all of a sudden, all of his sources said, no, they're not being called that. That's not what they're being called. They're just called Red Stormtroopers. Like it shut that rumor down immediately. But now we know that's true. But again, behind the scenes, he still said that they were being called Sith Stormtroopers. And he asks, he says, are they being called that behind the scenes because Kylo was actually a Sith Lord now? Or do we have a game of synonyms at play where evil is now the same as Sith? Anyways, the pertinent info here is that these Red Troopers answer only to Kylo Ren and the Knights of Ren exclusively. Maybe they're just the Knights of Ren's infantry. Which again, confirms what we were just talking about. What do you think about the idea that it was like that he got this rumor about them being called Sith Stormtroopers, and then suddenly everybody started, all of his sources started saying that's not what they were being called on set?
I feel like where my mind goes is that Disney fed them false information to keep this from getting out or keep it from being credible, because they didn't want that out at the time.
That he was being called Sith Stormtroopers.
Why they would release it now, I don't know, but I just feel like that's the only thing that makes sense in my mind.
Interesting. What do you think about that, BB Nate?
Weird how they just decided to backtrack themselves so suddenly and just say no, even though they've been saying it for months that it's a Sith Stormtrooper. But I think that you were saying they're feeding false information to keep them out, but I think Disney likes to use people like this for promotion, and these big rumors that came out in February to be something that people can talk about without asking for more news.
So you got to think, though, if they're feeding them false information, that means that this is important, you know, really important.
But I think it is. I think it's hugely important.
But why are they releasing it now?
Yeah. Well, I think that at this point, they're just setting the table for getting the buzz up.
They are not
making the marketing mistakes with Rise of Skywalker that they made with Solo. No. They are pumping this thing up. They've already done a trailer. We're going to get another trailer at D23. We'll get another trailer in October. We'll probably get a sizzle reel. I'm hoping some type of a sizzle reel from... We got a sizzle reel from The Last Jedi. I don't think it's coming at San Diego Comic-Con, but I think it's coming at D23.
I'm just trying to think of... Why October for the rest?
They always rely. They always do it before in October. They did the same thing with Force Awakens, and they did the same thing with The Last Jedi.
Oh, because of
me. Yeah. Here's what's interesting. Now they're. It also seems that Episode 9, Kylo Ren, has accumulated private armies and militias under the First Order banner to strengthen any opposition to his rule.
Maybe we'll see pirates.
I'm thinking the most important thing with that is strengthening the opposition to his rule. Mm. He's trying to avoid the coup that's coming from Hux.
Oh.
On this. Hux wants this leadership role.
Well, yeah.
I mean, he almost killed
Kylo Ren while he was laying in The Last Jedi.
Exactly. With it. So now Kylo Ren and the Knights of Ren are amassing the Sith Trooper Force and potentially is what we're speculating here, and other militias from other planets, other in the beyond or wherever else that they're doing it in a way to solidify his rule so that whatever happens with Hux, he's got these loyal forces.
Right. He's got more on his side than Hux.
So then Jason speculates here. It sounds like the scope of the worlds. Oh, it also says these worlds that have their own defense forces are also aligning with the First Order. Now, if he's hearing these rumors, he could be hearing very accurate rumors and coming to inaccurate conclusions.
Right.
What if, according to my theory here, you've got Kylo Ren and the Knights of Ren amassing these forces, these militias, while Hux and the First Order are partnering with these other defense forces that are aligning with them because this battle's coming.
They both know it.
Yeah, they're preparing for it, right? Okay. So then he goes on, he says, it sounds like the scope of the battles in the film could be pretty large and not just have the rebellion fighting against white stormtroopers. I think it's not that. I think it's... white stormtroopers going against red Sith troopers.
And possible other militias and
exactly. So then he goes and he takes, in this older article, he goes and he moves some things together. I think this is from the older article. He says, do these rumors connect? Let's speculate that they do, as they really may connect like this. It would seem that Kylo Ren is putting together a large force to dominate the galaxy. But the first rumor says that a threat from the beyond eventually reunites Kylo Ren and Rey. What is Operation Cinder, followed by The Contingency. Aftermath and Star Wars Battlefront 2 and all that. What is The Contingency?
I don't remember.
The Contingency is burn the Empire to dust and planets to dust. Mm-hmm. Figure out which Imperial forces survived this whole bloodletting. Unite and then go to the unknown regions to prepare. What if our little friend has gone to the unknown regions and is still there?
That would explain the Sith troopers, because both, you know, Kylo.
What if our friend Darth Sidious, I'll use that term because it's better than Emperor Palpatine, based on the theory that we had in the previous episode, which you should listen to.
Really?
Darth Sidious has been amassing a Sith army in the unknown regions for centuries.
Good Lord. I don't know how the Rebellion would fight that. The Rebellion's like fits on the Falcon.
Right now, yeah.
He goes on and speculates. He says, maybe the Knights of Ren are like the Sith. Perhaps the number two person of power in the Knights Order knows that they have to kill Kylo to become the Supreme Leader, and things get out of control for Kylo as the Knights of Ren, now generals of the First Order, try and usurp the Supreme Leader just like Kylo Ren did in The Last Jedi. Again, he then says, this is pure speculation on my part, but if these rumors are all accurate, they could potentially be, this could be potentially how these things connect together. I think my theory is better, Jason, but maybe I'll put it up on MakingStarWars.com. Or put our write out our theory sometime.
And you also have
so to send it's documented.
This, you also have to send this episode to all Lucasfilm
publishers. Well, we already talked about that. Yeah, but that's anyway. So, what do you guys think? Sith Troopers? Cool?
Yeah.
This is going to be one crazy movie.
Big deal?
Big deal. Huge deal.
But don't Stormtroopers miss everything so they can't...
Maybe Sith Troopers don't.
Yeah, they've got force
power. But if
this is madness,
join Finn, then the Rebellion has no chance.
Yeah, we'll have to wait.
The First Order troopers are actually pretty good.
We're just about 5 months away from finding out.
5 months?
That's it. You guys got anything else you want to talk about?
Anything else?
Marvel's Star Wars relaunch adds another wrinkle to Han and Leia's relationship.
Yeah, what is this thing all about here?
So apparently as they're moving in from the New Hope to Empire Strikes Back series and arc of the Star Wars comic series... Leia starts talking about her boyfriend.
She starts throwing her boyfriend in.
But the good thing is, they weren't together at that time.
No, they weren't. But
until close to the beginning.
Yeah, this bothered you. I'm going to remind our listeners to, like, I think episode 2 or episode 3 of our podcast.
Early
on. Oh no, this was after that. This was when we first got the trailer for. Solo, and we were talking about Kira.
Oh.
And you were like really devastated about the possibility that Han may have ever been in love with anybody other than Leia, you know, this 11 or 12 year old kid. I loved that. So, yeah, no, I think it's kind of cool.
Mark Hamill reveals the real taste of Star Wars Blue Milk on set. He says, it made me gag.
Yeah, I bet you they changed the recipe for Galaxy's Edge.
Yeah, probably.
Then they added green milk as well.
Yeah.
From Mark, too.
And for some fanboys watching Luke milk that. Siren thing. Yeah, that made them gag. All right, Jar Jar Binks spent the day trending on Twitter a couple of days ago.
Yeah, baffling what was Star I heard Wars about fans. That.
So this somebody put out one of those memes. You know, those stupid. If your first name starts with this letter, or you're born in this month or something, then this is the person. It was like this is what happens to you.
Mm.
And then they had 26 different, that's how many letters are in the alphabet, right?
Yes.
It's been a while since I've been in grammar school. 26 letters, don't count. 26 letters in the alphabet. Whatever your first name started with was the character.
Mm.
So the character for J, which is one of the most common letters for the starts of like, you know, English and American names was Jar Jar. So it was like, I was force choked by Jar Jar. I'm in love with Jar Jar. And then, so people started tweeting that stuff out and it became a viral tweet just based on the thing. And the next thing you know, Jar Jar Binks
is trending on Twitter.
This is mad.
That's awesome. Yeah.
All right, so this week's podcast poll of the week. Yes, I got it right. All right. Do you like the idea of Sith troopers? Pretty simple. If we read your reply on the air, you will receive a hashtag make Turbis Cannon sticker. I really hope that in the next several months that we can get a whole new set of stickers that said made Turbis Cannon.
No, what we do is we take them to the next celebration and just...
Anyway.
You just go up to...
Here's the thing. Do you like the idea of stormtroopers? Yes, no, reserving judgment, or other comment below. I think I know what your answers are, but your answer, Sam?
Yes.
Okay, Nate, your answer too?
Yes.
All right, I think you're excited about that. All right, I want to thank all of the amazing people that help make this show a possibility every single month with your support on Patreon. We certainly do appreciate that. You can go to patreon.com/Tatooine Sons to learn a little bit more about how being a part of that. Guys, your stickers are coming out the next week. We're going to get those taken care of over the weekend. Producers, DJ Blake, Emily Hoffman, Eric McGilvray, and Ian Thompson. Of course, our senior producers, Kate Disney-Lugers, Judith Jesse, hi, Grammy, and Roberto Moreno.
You see so, his name different, like, every
I know, day. It's just the way I do it. So, like I said, go to patreon.com/TatooineSons to learn how you can become a Patreon support family-friendly, multi-generational Star Wars content. I think we have a good show.
It's all right.
I like it. Anyway, we're the number 8 show on feedspot.com. So this is the top 25 Star Wars podcasts. That's pretty cool. And we had an episode recently get to number 7 on Apple iTunes TV and film charts.
In America, yeah.
In America. Yeah, number 7. That's pretty freaking amazing. I think it was 7. Anyway, social media, we're all over. We're on Facebook, we're on Twitter, we're a little bit on Instagram. If you want to look at pictures I put on there like 4 months ago. And YouTube. We don't do Snapchat because I don't understand how Snapchat works. Very much an important thing for us. If you can go to iTunes or Spotify and drop us a 5-star review, we will love you for eternally. And we will also read it for eternally. And we'll also read it on the show and tell you how much we love you for doing that. So I think that's pretty much it. Anything else you guys want to say?
May the force be with you.
May the force be with you.
May the force be with you always.
This party's over.
I like that Wookiee.
Don't get technical with me.
Droid, please.
Yep.
Tatooine Sons, the Star Wars podcast, is not endorsed by Lucasfilm Limited or Disney and is intended for entertainment and information purposes only. The official Star Wars site is located at www.starwars.com. Star Wars, the Star Wars logo, and all names and pictures of Star Wars characters, vehicles, and any other Star Wars-related items are registered trademarks and or copyrights of Lucasfilm Limited or their respective trademark and copyright holders.
Today's show was brought to you by SAP. Who am I and how am I feeling? I'm Clive Owen, and I'm feeling great, thanks. How about you? You feeling happy? A little angry? People have so many feelings, millions of them. But what if businesses could really understand all of those feelings and then act on them to make their customers feel better? It's a thing. It's SAP Experience Management, and it's here. Because the future of business has feelings, and I've got a feeling we're all going to like it. Go to sap.com/xm to learn more.
For your next date night, or client breakfast, whether you're heading to the airport or your anniversary, no matter the event, black is always in style. The all-new Uber Black now offers premium vehicles, highly rated professional drivers, and even the ability to request a quiet ride. Uber Black. Predictably premium.